Well, thanks everybody for coming. This will be a little lopsided and strange. I'll largely kind of look over this direction here, but thank you for anybody who, I'm sure the people here who are here did not go to the Best of Breed party last night because you wouldn't be here. Yeah. I see, I left, I don't know what time you guys left. I left at like midnight, I think. And so it's funny enough, I'm a morning guy, but I sound, so my wife loves this every time I have a cold. She's like, you've got the sexy voice. Like I woke up Friday morning last week with a severe cold. And so this whole week, it's been slowly getting better, better, better. And I'm just glad that I did not lose my voice, which I thought I was going to do. So go ahead and get started. Thank you for coming out, though. I'm very excited to get through this. It's a bit weird with this. I know we're spread out, and it's not a massive size group that's here. If you have questions, I love the interaction. So it's always hard with a giant audience, but if you have questions, definitely ask questions. And also, please do follow up if you have other specific scenarios, questions that are unique to your business, or you just don't want to get up in this. I do answer emails. I answer my cell phone. I'm happy to talk to you about some of these topics. SharePoint in the cloud. Select, mix, and deploy what's right for you. What does that mean? I'm going to get in and tell some stories around this and talk about this. I've got a little bit of a unique perspective on this. Here we are in the IT pro track, and yet I'm a business executive power user speaker generally, but I talk extensively on this topic. And I've been in this space and talking about these topics for well over a decade. And I'm going to share some of those experiences and why. And why my experience. My background, just so everybody knows, is I've got two marketing degrees. So my MBA in marketing and advertising and my undergrad in marketing. Yet I've been in high tech for 25 years. In the late 90s, I started a software company, sold it to, if anybody remembers, Rational Software, so pre-IBM acquisition, worked in the IBM world for a number of years. If you go look at IBM Redbooks, I've written a lot of content for IBM Redbooks. But then I went to work for a little startup that was seeking to build a hosted collaboration platform, a SaaS-based platform integrated in the product lifecycle management, manufacturing technology, like aligned with supply chain software. If anybody knows, like i2, we integrated with i2 software. And so I went through the experience of not only building from scratch a collaboration platform that we built a NOC, a network operating center, it was operating out of Redwood City, California, but I then built the deployment team and did deployments with little companies like Hitachi, Matsushita, Cisco, Omron, Sony, spent a lot of time in Japan and Taiwan and the Philippines doing these massive deployments. And what's interesting is this was 2001, 2002, is a lot of the questions and the concerns that people had about moving to a hosted cloud solution are the exact same issues we're talking about today. Nothing has changed in those issues. The technology is advanced, but the issues are the same. And so I'm going to be talking about some of those things today. Also, just to point out, as a business guy, talking in IT pro segment, I'm not doing demos. I am a very much business technical project management focused. It's an IT pro session, but at a 200 level. Just want to set expectations there. But please, if you do have questions, if I can answer, I definitely will. So I'm a three-time SharePoint MVP. I've been in this space. I was with Microsoft 2006 to 2009, went to a SharePoint ISV. 7 months later, got bought by another SharePoint ISV. 3 years later, got bought by another SharePoint ISV. That's where I am at Metalogix. I'm the evangelist there. I don't know if anybody follows Bloomberg, saw these articles. Just as an example of some of the changes that have happened in the industry. And I actually saw these on a flight coming back from DC about a week and a half ago, ripped them out, put the magazine, somebody else's magazine, put it back in the pocket of the airplane. But it was interesting, these two articles. On the left, you have an article about Netflix. and the streaming technology. On the right, you have an article about Zara, however you pronounce it. The clothing is now the largest clothing manufacturer in the world. And it just was interesting to me as I was thinking about this session and some of the stories and experiences I want to share to help illustrate the change that we're going through of what we're experiencing here. Netflix is a massive cloud-based service that is, it's not just that they disrupted how we're consuming the media that we're watching. Like, I don't know about you, we've been without television and cable in my house for about 5 years now. We are 100% streaming. So we're Hulu Plus, Netflix, or everything else online. We don't miss television, the rest of it, one bit, because my brother-in-law has the NBA package, so I'm able to go over there, and it works out. But Netflix, the interesting thing about it is some of the disruption that's happening in the space, some problems that we never would have thought about. The big problem with Netflix that's going on now is that all of the phone companies are saying, nope, too much of the traffic is coming through this channel. We want to be able to charge for that content. So it's changing, you know, the issues, things that we never thought about, you know, 10 years ago. And Zara, if you're not familiar with Zara, it's actually an amazing story that's relevant to the office graph, the social graph story, because here's a company that is so plugged into what their customers are buying, what their customers are not buying, what they're clicking on their website and looking at and then doing nothing about. Zara is, they go from design to finished clothing, finished product in their store in less than 12 days. They have something like 16,000 new designs of clothing going out every year. It's amazing. And they don't do any traditional advertising. So they are using the social graph to drive and understand what's happening around their customer and driving towards it. So these are just like what's happening out there with technology and cloud. We have business scenarios that just didn't exist 5 years ago that are enabled by some of this technology. So there's reasons for going towards this. But collaboration has evolved, and I want to go back and talk about this startup. I won't name it because they're not on the Microsoft stack, but company that I was one of the founding product team members of, but it was 180 million VC funded a startup back in late 2000, early 2001. But some of the problems that we would go and experience. I mean, I remember sitting in Tokyo at a restaurant with some executives, senior vice president of Matsushita. We actually went down to down south to their headquarters. And walked through kind of their museum and met actually the president at the time of the company. You know, great experience. But we were going through this transaction of moving, of changing how supply chain conversations were happening, moving it from a very expensive model where they are using the electronic data interchange, the EDI protocols, and these, you know, value-added networks, these VANs, the communication you're paying for every time you wanted to send a confirmation from a supplier to the manufacturer that, you know, parts were moving, that a system was built, like there was a transaction fee. And for these little part suppliers in Malaysia, and, you know, that it was very expensive to be able to communicate with, because a lot of these guys were on like little, you know, IDSL lines, you know, so not very strong communications, to be able to provide real-time access to supply chain data. It just was non-existent. It was so expensive. So you had these large hubs, these large organizations. So with the growth of the internet, with the advances in telecom, where you have, you know, XML coming in and simplifying the communication methods, so you had soap wrappers around this complex data, blob storage movement across this, but basically we turned what was a transactional-based communication system into something where we could charge a monthly fee, and it went from literally tens of thousands of dollars a month to hundreds of dollars a month for real-time access to this supply chain data. We moved to these, you know, more and more towards virtualization, to using these web services and going and building these kind of service-oriented architectures where, you could go and customize our solution based off these services that we would provide, it was revolutionary. However, when we would go and sit with the customer, like I did with Matsushita, they had concerns about how their data was being handled, the security around that, the intellectual property management issues, all of those same concerns that we're hearing about with movement to the cloud today. If you go and look at, it goes forward, the Office 365 experience. So I joined Microsoft in 2006, in March of 2006, and joined a group called Microsoft Managed Services, which had been spun out of MSIT. I've got one of my former peers here, Jim Adams, sitting down front, making sure I don't screw anything up. MMS became, for those that weren't familiar with MMS, became Business Productivity Online Services, BPOS, but it was the precursor to Office 365 on the dedicated side. When I joined, there was one customer, Energizer. And so I helped with customer number two and three, and to help build out the platform, I actually wrote the first licensing model for the program. Like, we sat and talked about and developed the first disaster recovery strategy, business continuity, and the SLAs for these customers at that time. But with all of that, Microsoft was going through and having the same conversations that I had had with my former company years before, talking about security, talking about the standards, talking about what's happening with their data, who has access to the data, what is the uptime, if I need to get in, for an organization like a lot of these that are used to being able to go in for auditing purposes and pull a drive and look at data, there was a lot of concern about, okay, now my data is striped between servers across farms that are all over the world, like how does that process work? And at the beginning of the MMS experience, the documentation was there, and Microsoft was asking those same questions. So we've evolved rapidly. But the things that are driving this push to the cloud, and I apologize for some of this, if you're well aware of these issues, I'll get through these slides pretty quickly. But you have drivers like this idea of the data anytime, anywhere. Doesn't matter if the data is sitting on a server under your desk, if it's something that you're purchasing from a partner, if it's something that's public data, you want to have access to all of those things all at the same time. You want to be able to go out and pick the tools that you are comfortable in working with. And so we would see this. I've been managing IT organizations for many years, and so we were constantly battling this, whether it's with people who have a little bit of IT knowledge, technical knowledge, or even with business users. They want to go and use the tools as well as the devices that they're comfortable with. So all of these things are pushing the cloud movement. You also have the social experience. And I won't get into this side of it. You've heard, I'm sure, a little bit about Microsoft's social plans this week. But so much about how we work today is tied to the social interactions. It's not so much about the social activity that's happening in each discrete system, but the conversations that are happening across these systems. I remember 15 years ago, and those that have been around IT for that long, remember there was a lot of talk, late 90s, about every project was about integration. How do we get this? We like this system, this tool. What are your connectors into this other system? Because we've got these other systems and tools. How are they going to talk together? And you don't, that still exists, but there's less of that now because of some of the open standards for this. And it's more about, you don't need to have so much the connection of the tools as you do a consistent social experience across those. And then one of the other primary drivers overall of moving towards the cloud is the fact that it's no longer the IT department that's making a lot of the decisions about the technology. It's the business users that are coming and making the decisions. The budget has moved from the hands of the CTO or even the CIO into the CIO, into the marketing organization, into operations. And then a lot of users want to have the type of control over their systems, over their tools. So change is happening across the board to enterprise applications. So you can see that in just about everything, every aspect of IT. So what I'm going to cover in this session, talk about. So I've covered it a little bit. I'll talk about it more, but the business drivers for SharePoint in the cloud, the differences between software as a service, platform as a service, and infrastructure as a service. People still have questions about this? Because this is one of those things that it keeps coming up. What's amazing is we've been talking about the differences between this and the next one, between public and private, for a long time. And yet, every time I go into a customer meeting or am I going to different events, there's questions about these fundamental things. I know some of the pieces are changing a bit, but I'm going to walk in and talk about some of the differences, and certainly from Microsoft perspective. I'm then going to walk through some of the common cloud scenarios, so what we're seeing in SharePoint. And the other thing I should point out is that I was always nervous coming in on Thursday talking about a session which is really kind of a foundational that should have been Monday morning leading into other sessions, but you know how these things work. All the Microsoft people are talking on Monday. But I was a bit concerned, like there could be announcements that could change some of my slides, but I think everything here is consistent. I don't get into enough detail in these examples around some of the specifics, but I'll talk about them. And if you've got questions about what I say and what some of the announcements are, definitely bring those up. And then here's how I usually do. I like to end with a call to action, but really put my project management hat back on, really talk about how you should prepare, start thinking about and planning for your cloud strategy if you have not already started. Or if you have, what I usually go through is look at the problem, holistically, and provide you with a number of different areas that maybe you've not thought about some of these things, and you should incorporate these best practices into your own plan. So what is driving SharePoint into the cloud? If you look at this, there's a number of things that are out there. There's a number of initiatives and definitions of cloud. I think off the top, everyone understands the fundamentals of we're in business to do business. No matter what you do, you're not in business, unless you're a hosting company, to maintain massive server farms and be in the business of keeping those servers up and live. Now, I understand a number of you are IT pros, and that is your job, like, of those things. But those are really just enabling activities so that you could spend more time in adding value to the business. It's not about keeping SharePoint standing up. It's about how the business can use SharePoint. It's why SharePoint's there in the first place, to drive more business. And so the idea of moving to the cloud is that you can step back away from the server, let someone else run that, and focus on the application itself and about driving value to the business, going and actually building some productivity solutions for your business. I'm one of those people that I've written about extensively, that there's going to be a transformation of people who are traditionally infrastructure-minded over to more of like senior business analyst roles, because you understand the technology already, you've had these conversations with the business side. But what's lacking in almost every organization is that connection between the technical and the business, somebody who understands both and can translate those requirements into what's happening with the application. So there's going to be growth there. But your ability then to go out as your business grows, to easily scale that out, and again, instead of having to buy hardware and stand that up and maintain that and do patches and cumulative updates and all of those things, that's being done on your behalf so you can focus on your business. So some of the advantages, of course. Professionally managed, 24/7 support, don't need to worry about hardware and software and the upgrades, the ability to deploy quickly, all the identity management pieces around that, and being able to scale out. Now the problem for the CIO is that you really have to balance what's happening with user demand and the requests. Everybody wants to bring in, they want to bring in their iPads, they want to bring in their Androids, they want to bring in, all these unsupported devices. They want to use tools that they saw that are really cool, that are consumer-based, but they really think would fit into what the business is doing. There's a lot of things that are happening that are disrupting IT. And so as the CIO and those who own these activities, you need to think about governance and security, auditing and compliance, reporting. How do we manage all of these things? Especially one of the things that I'm going to get into, hybrid environments. As you're slowly transitioning, if you have a segment of your customer data that you have, maybe you're in a highly regulated area where you're not able to move that data to the cloud today, and you're looking at a hybrid environment. It's not just enough to say, hey, what can we go do? Can we search and find this? Can we make this data discoverable? Is it secure in between these systems? How are you managing across those systems? I'll get into a little bit more, but think of the way that Office 365 is working. How many people are out with production systems on Office 365 today? So a few of you. Of those that raise your hand about Office 365, do you also have still on-prem environments? So you probably noticed that the reports that are generated out of Office 365 look nothing like the reports that are available and generated out of on-prem. And so being able to manage across both those systems, it's two separate systems. There, you know, very little sharing in between those things. So that's an ongoing issue. And is there risk with moving towards the cloud? I think this is the concern that everyone has, that CIOs have about this. Now we had, like, you know, the NSA data breach, and you hear some of those stories that are out there. But you know what? It's not even about that. That's not the real risk. There was a Forbes survey that was out last year. Maybe you saw some of the data points. 41% of those surveyed were using unsanctioned cloud devices. So they knew, 87% of those knew that there were policies against doing that, and yet they were out there. And the estimated risk of that, or the cost of remedying that, just of those that were surveyed, was $1.8 billion. So it's of concern, the fact that people are going out and going this direction. In IT, you will usually want to be supportive of end users going and using the tools that they're comfortable with, that they're going to be productive with. But you are worried about the back end, the security, those things. The problem is, it's like water running down a hill. You put a rock in front of it, what does the water do? It goes over it, goes around it. Funny enough is, how did SharePoint grow so quickly back in the day? WSS was free, and well, my first time deploying it was in 2005. So I'd seen it, had some experiences with it back in 2004, so that's where I signed my name on the timeline outside. But in 2005, I was consulting for a company, and what we found is that two or three different groups had gone out without asking permission from IT and deployed SharePoint and were using it. And what happened is that an executive saw some of the reports and some of the cool little solutions that were being built on top of SharePoint and said, let's do this. Oh, IT, take it and support it now. Consolidate it, support it. And so we went and deployed it company-wide for this. It's about when I left, it was about an $800 million company. So not a small company to deploy SharePoint broadly. But that was how SharePoint grew so rapidly, because people could go, if they had their enterprise agreement, they already owned it, they would deploy it and use it, and it just spread that way. That's what's happening with a lot of these devices, with these other consumer-based solutions. And so the answer is not to stick your head in the sand and ignore what's happening out there. It's about understanding what it is, understanding what the risks are, what your end users want and need, and then trying to support those things which are going to help the business grow. And so everything is about, like, there's adoption issues with SharePoint. Does anybody have end user adoption issues with SharePoint? So that's the balance. You want end users to be happy and to use it. You want it to also align with what the business needs, and you want it to be secure. These are all the questions which need to be answered. So I'm going to talk about some of the different pieces. And I mean, there's no easy button. There is no, and here's the way you do it. One, two, three, you're out there, and you're moved over into the cloud. There's so many, this is the king of the SharePoint answers is it depends. Everything around the cloud is it depends. What you are, what business segment you're in, what infrastructure you have today, what constraints you have on your systems, your ability to go and move, how aggressively, how much that you want to go after it, your management support for moving towards the cloud, all of these things factor in. And I'm going to go through a list of things as you're building that strategy and questions to ask and the people that you need to talk to. But then you have different options that are out there. Now, Microsoft talks extensively about Office 365. And I'd like to preface my statements here by saying that I'm a huge fan of Office 365. I helped in the early stages of developing what it is today. So I'm very excited by that. But I'm very pragmatic given my background as a project manager. I was constantly doing risk management. It's about helping management understand, here are the options, here's the decision you need to make, but do it with your eyes wide open. Office 365 is a software as a service platform. For a lot of my customers, I work for a SharePoint ISV, but I'm not a pitch man, I'm not a salesman necessarily, I'm an evangelist. Sometimes my company wishes I was more of a pitch man for them, but I try to be very neutral in talking about the business problem and solutions for that. The software as a service, a lot of our customers, they say that, the reason we went to SharePoint is because we wanted to have the level of control and customization and the configuration and all the things around that. And simply put, today, the app model is not yet mature enough that we can move those solutions over to it. So it's just not possible for us. Some of our customers, and usually the smaller ones, are aggressively making that move, but they're making decisions that we can't do everything we need to do today, but the benefits of moving are greater than the costs of staying, and so they're making those moves. But they made that decision knowing that, not blindly thinking, everything that I can do in SharePoint today, I can now do in Office 365. It's just not the case. So understanding the options that are out there and the differences between the platforms. So you have software as a service, which is really about the end user experience. The platform as a service, which is really more for the app developers, the designers that are going and building specific solutions, but still a little more packaged than doing it all yourself. And then you have the infrastructure as a service, which is really for the network architects that want the raw components and go and build, but still don't want to have to deal with all of the infrastructure. There's cost benefits around each of these things, and depending on what you're trying to do and the level of control and that you need to maintain, you've got options that are out there. And this is really the goal of this. When I sat down with Bill Baer, who's the IT pro technical PM, good friend of mine, one of my former peers, and talked to him about this session, was really helping people understand that the idea of moving to the cloud for a lot of people, and obviously we see with the growth of Office 365, it's Office 365. But for organizations that have really invested so much in building out on SharePoint, the other options may be a better fit for you. So just something to think about. Software as a service. So if you think of this standardized package platform, Office 365, where it's I always kind of say it's like the vanilla of everything out there. And the reality is that, and Microsoft is making this clear over and over again, that they are leading an innovation on Office 365. The benefits that are out there, if you want to always have the latest, greatest of that, that's the benefits of any SaaS-based solution. Don't have to worry about cumulative updates or patches and all those kinds of things. It happens, and you get updated. So you say goodbye to all the major platform upgrades, but all that, the infrastructure effort, and you really just go in. You've got standard SLAs, minimal customizations that you could do to it then. It's a very limited framework that you can work within. But you generally have the software and the hardware that are included within that. It's something that, Office 365, use a credit card, sign up, you're up and running. I run a number of community events. I put on an event at Microsoft campus. It was an Office 365 Saturday event, so a free event for the community. We went and paid for an Office 365 environment. It was just the organizing committee. We had our site live in about 3-4 hours, and it was very pretty. It was functional, and we kept it up and live for about 3 months. It served our purpose, and then we shut it back down. Now, that's not the favorite story, the example that Microsoft likes to hear, that we paid for it and then shut it back down, but It was easy to use, provided all the components, allowed the organizing committee to go and collaborate very quickly. And so you know, we could have left it up and running, but the user group already had a site, so didn't need to keep it up and running. Platform as a service. So you think of the architectural development access. So you have all the component services, all of the collaboration services. If you think of OneNote as a service that you could go and consume and develop against. I was talking this week with a partner that is, in fact, last night, Ask the Experts. There was a gentleman from Australia talking about how they were building a solution both for on-prem and in the cloud, but were primarily focused on building their vertical application on top of Office 365. Their customers may not ever know that they're on Office 365, but it provided all the infrastructure for them to go and build this custom solution, benefit from everything that SharePoint is out on Office 365. Then there's still, by offering and building this solution on top of it, you have all the SLAs that are out there, but you still are using it as a platform, or limited by depending on who you're using the service through, maybe limited in what you're able to configure and own and run on that. So it's within this framework. But once again, generally, platform as a service, both hardware and software are covered as part of that service. Infrastructure as a service, on the other hand, you have these virtualized hardware and software environments. So I was just thinking, like, vendors like FPWeb, Rackspace, and others that provide these platforms, provide both platform as a service, well, they'll stand it up and they'll maintain these pieces and provide you with the servers. I mean, Azure is in the infrastructure as a service piece, where you could go in, buy these things, you basically have this metered service where you pay per use what you need to be able to do, but go and build these solutions, highly customized environments that are out there. But you have complete control over what you've built. So this is a great example that if you are highly customized in your on-prem SharePoint deployment, want to move some of those costs over to the cloud, you want to you can use an infrastructure as a service model, have the same degree of control. And I believe this is still true, and maybe Jim, you can nod your head, but Microsoft looks at these deployments where you have private cloud or a lot of these platform and infrastructure as a service, not as a cloud, because essentially the build of SharePoint that's on these is the on-prem build. There's not something different than that. I mean, you have the software as a service that is Office 365. Everything else is the same build for on-prem, whether it's out on a virtualized service or on your own server. The difference between public and private. So very simply, you have this idea of the private cloud, the public cloud. I'll just pull them all up in the hybrid cloud here. Private cloud, of course, infrastructure is maintained solely for the customer. It can be on or off premises. Usually it's off premises and managed by the customer or third-party hoster. Public cloud, of course, is something if you think of Office 365, where it's a multi-tenant environment, off premises, and then it's managed all, maintained by third party on behalf of the customer. You log in, it's serviced for you. And hybrid, I'll come back to that. Hybrid, you've got a lot of different options. It's the it depends category here, but generally, you'll have components both on and off-prem. It could be that it could be a hybrid environment that's partially, maybe your hybrid is that you're using Office 365, and you also have a third-party hoster that has your on-prem build of SharePoint. So Microsoft's eyes, it's on-prem, but it's being hosted on your behalf. But management of those components depends on the configuration they have out there. Hopefully that makes sense. For a lot of people that are entering this space, it really is, this goes back to this age-old question. Do we build or do we buy the components? You have to ask questions like, what skill sets do you have? What skills do you want to have? What business do you want to be in? Do you outsource this or you do this in-house? So if you think about, and this is a modification of a diagram that Microsoft has out there, and I've simplified a couple things here. But you have this self-hosted private cloud. Of course, I've heard some definitions of what private cloud is. Like, I have a Western Digital drive. If you've seen the commercials for Western Digital now for their multi-terabyte drives, like, it's your private cloud. I think they even call it my cloud now. And I always joke that, yeah, I have a 1 terabyte private cloud that I carry with me. And then I was going to joke, I was going to hand it to somebody and say, now it's hosted private cloud. But if you think about this as your traditional on-prem, on the other side, outsourced on the buy side, you have the shared or dedicated public cloud. It's really like Office 365, and you know, there's others that provide something similar. And I think over time, as this segment, as the cloud matures, you're going to have other options. In fact, I won't get into the vendors at this, so I don't know how sensitive a topic it is, but I mean, there are vendors that are looking to build a hosted SaaS SharePoint offering that provides some degree of more customization and control than Microsoft with Office 365, but offer it in a similar model. Probably heard of this. I mean, it's going to happen. Microsoft, ultimately, it's like it's people on SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and Yammer. They're good with it. But there's other options that will be out there. So, you know, if you're concerned that you can't yet move to something and looking around, it's like it's opening up, it's developing. It still is very new. You then have, on the build outsource side, you have these partner-hosted or private clouds. This was the team that actually joined at MMS, was the dedicated side. It's still out there, Office 365 dedicated. It's some of our, you know, Jim and I's old team. And it's slowly moving, all of those people are moving to the multi-tenant, to the public cloud around that. But there are private-hosted solutions that are out there. And then also you have this dedicated public cloud option that's out there. Not as familiar with as many solutions that are out in that model, but these are the models. Let's just snap your pictures and then jump to the next one. Of course, you get all the slides. You know that, too. So here's another one where I thought was a very powerful diagram that Microsoft put out there that I simplified for consumption, just to try to make this case of the differences and the interactions between these systems. So you have your infrastructure, you have the platform, and you have the software. Got to either go build it or buy the infrastructure. Build it or buy the platform and then the software on top of that thing. Well, the infrastructure supports the platform supports the software. And where SaaS comes in, or your IT organization needs to provide this, is that you have this service delivery component with a number of services that are across the top. Now, there are vendors that are out there that will go and build these various solutions depending on what your needs are. This is the it depends. But they have all of this capability. Now, I know that we were building a lot of this out for what is now Office 365 back when I was at Microsoft. The service delivery team, for example, like it didn't exist. We didn't call it that. And that's something that evolved with the launch of BPOS and the rebranding to BPOS and is just grown with Office 365. But being able to go and build like the disaster recovery business continuity, build out the service level agreements, the capacity management planning and streamlining and automation of these different capabilities. And all of these things fit in and tie to the service delivery, which depending on those options and what your needs are, they then dictate how their operations are run on the back end, how the management capabilities, what's needed. So for an example of this is that depending on the services that you need for what you need to run to make SharePoint work, your operations needs could vary because some of it could be, you know, off-prem, some of it on-prem. Then depending on what you have and what has been outsourced, your management needs will change. You might need different reports. You might have different governance standards depending on where these components live. And then depending on those things, feed in the requirements back into the infrastructure platform and software. And I've got a link to the more complex diagram of this at the end. It's definitely worth going and taking a look at that's out on TechNet. So if you look at what's happening with cloud, the growth. So 2013, it was projected it was going to be at 47.4. We don't yet have the final numbers of what it was last year. And this is coming out of IDC and Gartner has similar numbers, but just where it's going by 2017, look at that, $107 billion. It is growing rapidly. Organizations are adopting it. Now, what I would say, and we saw in the keynote numbers about how quickly Office 365 is growing, here's a little bit of slice on, it's funny when you see statistics like that. It doesn't mean that there is an equally downward trend of on-prem environments. It doesn't. The average farm size of SharePoint is a terabyte. And that farm size is growing by 50 to 75% per year. Massive amounts. While maybe net new on-prem installs is leveling out as people are not installing new, they're adding to the cloud. What's happening is that they're doing hybrid environments, they're leaving those, and they're also going to the cloud, and overall content is just growing at a rapid rate. People are finding out how to use this more. If you think of end user adoption, people are refocusing on that. The more people use the platform, the more content is created and then managed, and so that's why these systems are growing so quickly. And another interesting quote, Frank Jens, who's the SVP at IDC, talked about that the primary driver, when we talk now about the economics and a lot of the messaging, and it's not just Microsoft, from every vendor that's doing cloud, it's about reducing the costs, moving from the capital expenditures to the operational expenditures, all of those things. We inherently understand that. But that's becoming less and less of a factor as the maturity of the platforms are there, and it really just comes, and you got this message strong from Microsoft as well, it's about being able to innovate more quickly. Now, Microsoft talks about their ability to innovate quickly on the technology, and that's true. It's just true. You get the latest and greatest by being in the cloud. However, by you being in the cloud and being able to utilize those, that innovation of Microsoft more quickly, it allows you to innovate more quickly. It's always fun to run into people that are still out on like SharePoint 2003. Okay, let's point you out. Who still has 2003 up and running? Yeah, there's a couple hands. I know, most organizations have 2003 and 2007 and 2010 and some 2013 and they're testing out Office 365. I think the majority have two or three versions of SharePoint running. But that as you're able to, when we're talking to those people that are on 2003 and they have one view of what SharePoint is, it's like glorified file storage for most of those organizations. Once they start understanding the new capability, it suddenly opens up. When you go and ask somebody, I'll put my business analyst hat on. When I would go and talk to customers about what are your requirements for this system, their perspective of their providing me their feedback of what they wanted to go build was limited in their, they limited themselves in what they understood the technology could do. So when they start seeing the new capability, it opens up their mind, their requirements go the other way. There's always a trade-off to there. If you show them the new technology, then they start asking for things. You say, well, no, just what you need. No, I need all of this. So you've got to be careful with that. But Frank goes on, and so it's not just about the shift from economics to innovation. He goes on and he talks about the idea of the business as a service, so the ability to go and consume the pieces that you need. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more in a minute. So it's not just Office 365, which is software as a service, but when you start looking at platform as a service and infrastructure as a service options, especially if you are a service company or an ISV or somebody else that's looking to go that direction, we're going to see the acceleration of the adoption of the cloud because it's going to enable you to go and create more creative solutions based on these services, and it's going to speed up the rate of adoption of cloud. So by offering these attributes of the public cloud, so the economics, the ability to scale, the pace of innovation of the features that are coming in, there's a lot of questions about the privacy and control and all of those things, but a lot of these virtual environments, so if the platform as a service, the infrastructure as a service, it's really driving the growth. Now, Office 365 numbers are tremendous. It is going to continue to grow at that rapid pace. And I don't know, I expect at the next SharePoint conference that we're probably going to see a rate of growth even higher than what was talked about this week. Because we're just, that's where it is. It's, we're at the hockey stick portion. However, part of what's accelerating that are these other platform and infrastructure options. It's because of the maturity of the platform. So these virtual offerings are, you think of Azure. Like, we use Azure extensively. We're building out more and more things on Azure rather than go and build additional, as an ISV, additional on-prem solutions. It just makes it very flexible for us to go and spin things up, to test things out, and then to work with partners and customers to build out customized solutions for them. Boring text slide here, but by 2017, public IT cloud services, 70% of IT product spending, and it's going to increase. Where it's happening, around applications, system infrastructure software, around platform as a service. So companies that are going and saying, we want to buy this, we want to use this and build on top of it, and go and rebrand it and sell it as a service. A lot of small to medium-sized businesses that are branding vertical solutions on top of SharePoint and selling it as a platform. And then, of course, the servers and the basic storage costs that are driving that. It's going to remain the largest public IT cloud category with 59.7% of revenues. But if you look at what's growing, it's actually a faster rate of growth around platform and infrastructure as a service. So they're catching up. So some of the common cloud scenarios. So I'll skip past this just in the interest of time here. I'll go into some of the examples here. So you have why people are thinking about hybrid and cloud solutions. So some of them that they, a lot of people are doing this. You have your on-prem, you're going to maintain your on-prem, and yet what you're doing, what customers are doing, is using Office 365 for the greenfield opportunities. It's a side-by-side model. They're also doing this model where they made the decision to move to the cloud, but they need to kind of baby step it over there, allow people to move things slowly. OneDrive is an excellent, the Microsoft has a strategy behind that, using OneDrive as to allow end users to move their efforts over there. I had a great conversation with Jared Spataro at the Worldwide Partner Conference in Houston this last summer. And he talked about his experience at OpenText, where they found that instead of just going and when talking about customers that were interested in moving, going and trying to create technology to migrate and connect between these systems, very complex, very fidgety. Like, there is no such thing as a simple migration. They are messy. 80% move simply. The other 20% makes your life hell. And so again, this is one of those things, eyes wide open, understand what that effort is. And so by putting it in the hands of the end users and letting them move over, what Jared found with OpenText, what we've experienced with moving people out of file shares and off of other competing platforms, by putting that in the hands of the end users, expedited that path. And so that is Microsoft's strategy. They've really kind of come about phase. For moving a lot of efforts towards the cloud into Office 365. A lot of organizations, they want to supplement. They want the cloud, and they may even go out and build out largely in the cloud, but then doing the kind of opposite and supplementing that with on-prem because they need some very highly customized solutions. And increasingly, instead of the option doesn't have to be, hey, we need to manage servers to do those things, we're going to go out to Azure. I know that Amazon as well, there's Rackspace and other providers that you can do this and build it there. So it's all in the cloud. So a lot of people are being driven, like the initiative, you must be in the cloud by 2017. And it's, you can still maintain that control, just different options for that. And then there's a lot of compliance, data sovereignty issues around this. I spend a lot of time out of the country, Germany, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, all that have much stronger regulations and concerns about these issues than we do in the U.S. I mean, we understand them, but if you look at the majority of software as a service purchases, it's U.S.-based, North American-based. So some of the common solutions. So one of the most common that we're seeing now, SharePoint on-prem, SharePoint Online, the SKU out there, just to go. We want to have them side by side. People accessing those things, they're not touching, they're just out there, it's greenfield, and slowly transition out there. That's one scenario. Office 365, same thing, side by side, not touching. So I mentioned Microsoft strategy using OneDrive to allow end users then to go in and start migrating themselves over. I mean, it's an important strategy. I think it is a smart move. I mean, because the other thing is, for those that are looking at moving across it, specifically to Office 365, Microsoft has said it's you either need to use the OneDrive strategy, which is, and work with your end users to do that, or to do something that's much more complex, depending on the size of that, is you need to go through the third-party migration vendors. You also have increasingly these hybrid environments. Let me just say that, a lot of SharePoint ISVs have hybrid solutions. It's hard. It's messy. It's not easy. It's not perfect. There's a lot of issues with hybrid environments. Just be aware that it's not this panacea that's going to solve all these problems. We've got some issues. We want to keep some of it over here and have it over there. I mean, I'm a governance guy. Right off the top is maintaining those standards. Little things like, do you want to have a consistent taxonomy and information architecture across your environments? There is no automated way to do that, period. So you have your end users that want to access both of those. You can sync. There are options for this. I'm actually, is anybody sitting in Bill Baer's session workshop this afternoon? 4 hours of hybrid talk. Yeah, I'm going to be in that as well. But there's great data that's out there. Reasons for hybrid and some considerations. So it could be that just the size or where your office locations are, your environments are, that it's just impacting your ability to move to the cloud. Maybe you have independent, geographies, countries, regions. They control their infrastructure, so you can't just make a broadly sweeping decision, we're going to move to the cloud. There could be regulatory compliance reasons that restrict your ability to move entirely over. And this, it's very common. If you think of this, a year ago this month at the Gartner conference in San Diego, Gartner came out and was talking about they threw some numbers that are out there. There was a little bit of, thrashing in the market around it, but by the partner conference in July, Microsoft was saying the same numbers, where they said, of existing SharePoint customers, 35% will never move to the cloud. 50% in the next 3 to 5 years will be hybrid, and 15% pure cloud. What that means is, the next 4 or 5 years, 85% of you will still have on-prem to some degree. Microsoft understands that, is more accepting of that now, and the messaging has changed. And that's why you see a third of the sessions this week have been around on-prem and hybrid, because they're recognizing, while they're going to go and push towards the future and innovation, and they need to do that, it's the right thing to do, they're also understanding the reality of you've got to manage and do what's right for your business. You have requirements and system constraints. They get that. And the one thing I would say, and this is from a person that's not Microsoft can say this, is just feel better in knowing that there's a difference between the marketing message and the push towards the future and the support for what you need, the reality of your business. Microsoft does understand that, although sometimes it gets buried behind the marketing, but they do understand that, and they're trying to improve the communication and support for the people that are hybrid or remaining on-prem. So just wanted to get that out there. That's my little help there. So it could be that there's also external collaboration options where you need to have on-prem to kind of separate. It might be that you have service level agreements, depending on the type of business you're running with your customers, with your partners, and you need to be able to maintain those things. You also need to make sure that you understand the return on investment of the things that you're building out. It's one of those things with hybrid. Can you do it? Yes. Is it ugly? Yes. What is the cost? Is the cost lower, even if you're losing some parity by moving to cloud today, than the pain that would happen by maintaining the different systems? Just something to think about. For a lot of organizations, hybrid is more of just a transition. It's a way to get things started. And again, it may be that certain geographies just can't yet, but you want to get things started and get people's comfort level and funding it up to the place where they can do that. And then it also, by having that hybrid environment, it also helps end users to start having that experience. Like a popular, increasingly popular model is having your My Sites map to the online and the new 2013 experience. And you can do that with 2013 or 2010 on-prem and map over to that. That's a great hybrid experience to start baby-stepping people over there until all the data in the other systems. Now you still have to go and do some identity and authentication synchronization and single sign-on around that, and make sure the search experience is jumping both sides. But there are options that are out there if you're going to go that direction. And I'm not going to get into detail around this, but just to say that I've mentioned that Windows Azure is picking up steam for SharePoint support. It is rapidly growing out there. It's just a great option to very quickly to say, I need to maintain some level of control and don't want to stand up the servers. Now, where the future is, this is gospel according to Christian, kind of where I see where some of this is going. But you have, hit the button here. Just a second here. Increasingly, what you have happening is that you hear even talk this week about being able to go in, access, and use like the OneDrive as a service. My vision for where things are going is more and more that's going to be options out there from a developer standpoint, from the platform and the infrastructure as a service models. So you can have Office 365 broken down into its core services, which you can then go and consume as needed. So if you want to go and use Office 365 as a platform, be able to build a custom solution, then you're able to go and just build those pieces together. Somebody may not know that they're using SharePoint, that you may be going out and using these services. And so it's going to get better as the out-of-box tools get better and better, as the app model matures, as the APIs get stronger. Certainly the third-party vendors, all the ISVs that are out there, are working hard to build these solutions based on their customer requirements. But really more and more using this information, this infrastructure as a service model. And as I said, eventually you'll be at a place similar to why you went and installed SharePoint in the first place. It's not just a file share. Not just a simple collaboration tool. It's something that is like a utility knife or a Swiss Army knife. You can make SharePoint into anything that you want it or need it to be. But you're going to be able to do this from a more foundational standpoint by going and consuming these services and building around that. But what that requires then is you need to know what you want to do with it. If you don't, go sign up for Office 365. Start with the vanilla and build from there. Just know that as your end users' taste mature, as the business grows, and as I always call it, even with how powerful Office 365 is becoming, at some point, if you say this is too vanilla, we need to have more control over that, you have options. Some of the other hybrid scenarios that are out there, I mean, there's the Yammer integrations. I'm Yammer certified admin. I can talk to you about some of those things. It's fairly limited. I mean, there's cool stuff, but still fairly limited today. It's maturing very quickly. The federated search results, the dashboards, analytics and BI, these are all things that people are going and doing. Some people will go and build a dashboard. You have no idea that the only thing that you're doing is through the cloud, you're accessing a management dashboard and KPIs, which are all out in the cloud, but accessing through business connectivity services, on-prem and cloud-based data across a number of different areas. So workflow capability, the dynamic CRM, some of the announcements around today with the social listening tools and the Office Graph. I mean, increasingly, you have very powerful data sets that are available out there that can draw from both online and offline for hybrid scenarios. So best practices of following for your cloud strategy. I always tell people, like, just make sure you have a strategic view and understand the requirements. Your requirements are not that I need to support SharePoint. And I would, when I was sitting in a smaller audience, I said, what is your goal with SharePoint? And people, like, number one, it's like, we're trying to collaborate more. Really? It's like, true, we all are trying to collaborate more, but that's not what your requirement is. Understand what you're trying to accomplish for the business and those requirements, and then map those things over to SharePoint. And I'll get into a model here for a second. But understand the workloads that can be moved now. There's a reason why, predominantly, why people are moving to Office 365 today. It's going to change, but still today, is Exchange. It's mature. It makes sense. It's easy. We've been in hosted Exchange through other vendors and now Office 365 for three years. You know, it just makes sense. You know, we don't need to go and host Exchange and manage all of that, and it just works for us. So understand the maturity of those things. And then think about the governance risk. What are the constraints in the system? And here's the model that, so a good friend of mine, fellow SharePoint MVP, Nick Kellett, who's out of Ottawa, works for StoneShare. He and I did a webinar together, and we came up with this simple model, which I've used in a number of other presentations. But if you think about your business need versus the service, and SharePoint is a service. It's funny, I was doing a keynote with Dan Holm, and we did a slide with two boxes where we said, SharePoint doesn't matter, and that's all you saw on the screen, and then the next one said, the business matters. It caused a lot of controversy. Like, SharePoint doesn't matter, what? At a SharePoint conference? But it's this idea that business first, then understand the service, and then everything that you're doing to build out, and whether you can build or buy, depends on the gap between what the service can provide and what your requirements need. Whether you're building a governance strategy, where you're building out a platform or a product or a solution, doesn't matter. You identify your requirements. You then map the requirements. Here's what we need. SharePoint can do this. It can do this. Nope, it can't do that. Or Office 365. No, it can't do that. Yes, it can do that. Then you have to make some decisions. It can do three of the five things we need it to do. Can we do without number four? Yes. Can we do without number five? No. Guess what? We're staying on-prem. Or we need to go look at like a private cloud solution. We have our mandate to move to the cloud. It's not meeting the requirements that we have today, legal requirements, whatever it is. If you don't follow this process and do that mapping, and just go and deploy that with the technology first, it's gonna bite you in the butt on the other side when you're not able to meet those requirements. And here's my project management, and then the last one is the ongoing operations management activity. And this is where I say, this is from a non-sales guy and who's worked at Microsoft and knows how the marketing machine works around this too. You have to go and build your, this is my project management hat. So when I say you have to, I mean, that's my perspective. My recommendation is that you don't make decisions on things that need to be there today based on promises of what might be in the roadmap in the next 6 to 12 to 18 months. It's a bad way to approach technology projects and business solutions. Again, the pragmatic side of me says, if we need the benefit of this solution in the next 6 to 24 months, you have to go with the functionality that's available today. But that's me. That's how I approach these things. And even within my company today, I've made some of those recommendations. They said, nope, we're going to do it anyway. It's like, okay. And then a month later, we're having this issue. It's like, yep. We made the decision, remember? So some of the factors in your cloud planning, and I'll go through kind of in detail of these things. But thinking about the location, the facilities, what you have available, what's out there, the software licenses and support, the hardware, the on-site support, the personnel that you need to have, the level of customization that you need to do, the governance, auditing, reporting, management, all of those things. I always like to share this story. When I went to work for MMS, again, this was March 2006, a couple weeks after I was there, I was doing my first trip out to this giant customer out on the East Coast. And I was sitting in a room with our technologists, the guys that really built the hosted SharePoint platform. And I was getting ready for my trip, listing out questions that I was going to talk with the customer. And the customer, one of the questions was, okay, and what is our disaster recovery plan for our hosted SharePoint platform? And I had four technologists. This was Mike Watson, Sean Kelly, Sean Livingston was in there, and Bill Baer. And they looked at each other, and Mike Watson said, huh, we should write one of those. Didn't exist. I'm sure that's the confidence building that everyone wants to hear about what happened inside of Microsoft. But it was 2006. We were young and carefree. But we went and built that out. What's the backup? How quickly is this the environment to come back online? And then the upgrades and migration plan. And so this will be in the slides, so you don't have to take copious notes around this, but location and facilities. So if you think about the cloud portion primarily being Office 365, if you're going to do it on-prem, you need the space, you need the maintenance, you need the planning for that. My background is working with data warehousing and raised floor spaces and that side of things, and going and having to pay for internally that great funny money to make sure I had enough space for my systems that I was managing. Cloud, the solution, depending on the hybrid solution, cloud, I mean, it's provided. They provide the hardware and software and the facilities for that, and hybrid spread between those. Your software and licenses are likewise. You've got the costs. Do you have it? What's the ongoing support? Do you have the skill set for those? Hardware and maintenance. Again, going and purchasing hardware. I know it's improved a little bit, but I remember when we had customers coming online at MMS and having to go, it's like, all right, we're ready to go. Talk to the guy who owned all this, Derek O'Loughlin. He's like, how long is it going to take us to get these servers? Well, the last two customers were still in back order. It's like Microsoft was having trouble purchasing hardware and getting it online quickly. That was our bottleneck for a time there. I don't think it's so much of an issue now, right? Just because of the virtualization that's happened, it's much more flexible. The on-site support and the personnel skills. Are you in the business of maintaining skill sets that are infrastructure people, or are you focusing on the business side? The level of customization. On-prem, you have full control. Cloud, if Office 365, very little to none. Hybrid, it just depends on the model, what is out there. So what you need to do and an understanding of what your requirements are today and what they will be will help dictate those options. A lot of limitations in out of the box and even with cloud, it's going to be very complex. It depends on what industry, what segment that you're in. But there are a lot of tools, a lot of solutions out there. It's really the third-party ecosystem that really helps support a lot of this. But the problem with this is not just that, and I made the, early on, I talked about the difference between the reports. If you think of something like permissions management, within SharePoint, you have access to rich data about what's going on. Now, it's still not fantastic with the out-of-the-box experience, but there are partner tools that are out there that allow you to see like permissions of an individual across every farm that you own and be able to manage those things. Office 365, it's very limited. And if you're in hybrid, and especially if you have Office 365 or some other hosted solution out there, it could be very different, not connected. So how are you then managing the fact that you have two different models of managing permissions? And that's just one thing, that's just permissions. Disaster recovery, of course, you've got to own all of that if it's on-prem. All of that's defined in your SLAs with the cloud. And then again, upgrades, I think it's pretty clear. You own it versus someone else doing it on your behalf. So some of the common questions that people ask is, I go and I talk about cloud. What cloud services should I pursue? And I talked about this, is really look at what's mature out there, what makes sense to move. Think about your discrete business activities or those workloads and what makes sense there. If you're just going to cut over, hey, we're just doing it, we're going all to the cloud, I mean, it's still good to understand what the business might push back on. But if you're looking at doing a transition to the cloud over time and phased approach, then go and look first at, like I mentioned, Exchange. That is a logical first step. It's the number one reason why people move to Office 365. So as I said, it's easy there. Focus on the mature options for this. Should I do cloud only or a combination? Should I do the hybrid? And as I said, look, there's business reasons for doing this. Hybrid is really hard. That's why we're going to sit in a four-hour workshop this afternoon to hear Microsoft talk about it. I'll just tell you perfectly honestly, it's better to either be all on-prem or all in the cloud. It just is. But if you've got a lot of customization, there's a need for hybrid. I mean, it's understood. What kind of partners should I choose? Just like looking at any other vendor, make sure you're looking at the resume, the level of experience that's within that. And I was working with a vendor that was an expert at SharePoint, hosted SharePoint. We also wanted them to host Project Server. They didn't know anything about Project Server. I mean, hosting, standing it up, but they didn't know how to run it. And yet they were providing this, we'll run it for you. Fired them, ended up going with a company that only hosted and ran and managed Project Server because they were all PMPs. They were all, PM Project Management Institute certified project managers. So they knew what they were actually doing and could talk the language around that. That's just one example. Go with the people that are experts in that category. And then ensure that what the SLAs are, make sure that it meets your needs. I'm just a big fan of looking for specialization if you're looking at just taking certain pieces out into the cloud. Some of the best practices here, I always say at the top of every discussion, make governance a priority, because at the end of the day, governance will help you, like, how are you managing it? How are you measuring that what you've done is successful? And how are we ensuring that what we've done is aligned with what the business actually needs? And it doesn't matter, governance is not a document that's a checklist that you go look at and say, hey, we're done, we're governed. No, it's an ongoing process. It's part of your change management activities around SharePoint. Look at your servers, your services holistically. Don't just go in and look at Exchange for Exchange sake. Oh, we'll deal with the SharePoint aspect later. If you're going to go and sign up for Office 365, and are just looking at it for Exchange today, recognize that Link, Yammer, and SharePoint are there. Whether or not you're focusing on it, and even if you have a strategy, you're still doing on-prem for the other pieces, people know that it's there. They're going to go try to use some of those other things, have a strategy, have a plan around those things. Always go in, especially if you're making the move, be very clear on what your permissions are, your information architecture, all of those things. Understand what it's like today and make sure that those things map over to the new environment, whatever your model is. And then, again, goes back to governance, but define the policies, the procedures, kind of all of those other pieces. Understand what's possible, not just what's possible, but why, what we're doing, how we're going to manage this ongoing. Hopefully this was useful to everyone. I do have, so I can answer any questions that there might be, but there are some great resources that I highly recommend that you go take a look at. One in particular, there's SharePoint MCM, Chris Beckett, if anybody doesn't know Chris, also based in the Seattle area, wrote a fantastic white paper called Governance Administration for Hybrid Deployments. You definitely want to go take a look. It's free. There's no registration page to spam you with stuff. You could just go pull it down. But there's some great content that's out here. John Ross with Rackspace wrote a fantastic article talking about public versus private. It goes into more detail than what I discussed. So some great tools that are out there. Definitely want to take a look. And then, as I mentioned at the beginning, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. I do respond. I'm a community person as well. So for those that aren't familiar with International Association of Microsoft Channel Partners, or IAMCP, so I'm the chapter president for Seattle. So I'm very plugged in to the partner community as well. So if I don't know the answer, or if you're asking for recommendations and questions, I know a lot of people that can help answer those questions, and I'd be happy to put you in touch and connect you with some of these folks. So is there any questions that I can answer for you? Anything that you're experiencing? Yep. Yeah, so what's happening with the roles in organizations as you move away from owning infrastructure, what's happening with those people? And I've written on this topic, and there's a lot of people that agree that it's not happening. It's not just suddenly, hey, we have fewer headcount that we need. No, what's happening is it really is changing. Now, while I call it like moving to these business analyst roles, it doesn't mean that's their title. But it's these people that understand the technical activities, what's going on, are helping manage, understand the SLAs, understand the business requirements, understand what's happening on the technology side, but then are having more in-depth conversations with the business side and making sure that it's translating. And that it really is this acceleration of the capability. It's why we went to SharePoint in the first place, was not because we want to be involved in the intricacies of moving data in between lists on different farms, and having somebody who knows how to do those basic pieces, but in automating and streamlining business processes so that we can do more business. So having people that understand the technology, SharePoint, understand what's happening within whether it's Office 365 or some other hosted service or partner, if it's hybrid still, the on-prem pieces, managing those different pieces and being that utility for the business people to come to help them build out then business solutions and solve things. So there's definitely a shift that's happening in that direction. I'll give you an example. Like, I attend a lot of like SharePoint Saturdays and other community related events. We're seeing an increase where 3 years ago, I would say more than 50% of the people attending these were devs. And now increasingly they're power user, and I would say on the soft side of IT Pro, on the admin side, they're really more focused not on the technicalities of the platform, but on how do I do this and automate this? A lot more questions about vertical solutions and what other partners are doing. A lot more focus on end user adoption, but also like the best practices that are coming down through these industries. And so you need people to go out and understand those things. And it just happens to be that it's a lot of the people that had been doing infrastructure pieces. So I don't know if that answered the question, but. It's starting to. I mean, it needs to move towards a services model because Microsoft certainly is trying to encourage that with the app model. So you do have a lot of companies, small companies that are starting up that are able to go out and build these tools and solutions for discrete workloads. And so these are these services. I think I did make that statement that as these technologies mature and as these discrete workloads or services become more clearly defined and available out in Azure and other environments, that people will then start going out almost like this kind of service bus model. Like, I'm going to go and build something. Here's my front end, which is the app model, and I'm going to use this service, and this service, deploy it, whether it's internally or they provide that as a public utility. So you are going to see that. We're starting to through the app dev community. But as those that are starting to work with the app model and out there doing that, you know the state of where it is. We're at the early stages of the development of that model. So, but yes, that is, I believe, where it's going. Yep. So yeah, if you have a lot of custom branding, a lot of custom lists, a lot of those things, I mean, yeah, a lot of custom scripting around. Again, it's very, very powerful. I'm actually doing a session at SP TechCon San Francisco in April called 15 Reasons to Stay on SharePoint 2010. Microsoft loves that. But the idea is not trying, I'm not saying that, I'm not knocking, like, moving towards that, but it's the idea that if your requirements are being met, if the cost of moving is greater than the fact that you could have to rebuild those things, not everything ports across. I mean, third-party solutions do a lot for the migration, but you're going to lose, it's going to break a lot of those things. It's just the reality of what can be moved or not. Right, and that's so that's where you come down to. You have limited customizations, the ability to do things like that in Office 365. However, if you're using a POS or IaaS, it's not a good way to pronounce that acronym. The platform and infrastructure as a service models, it's just the on-prem build out on a hosted service. Therefore, you're still going to have to go through the upgrade migration process and pain, and things will work, and you have to test it out and kind of all of those things. And it's why Microsoft's guidance is around that. Like, you could go, moving data is easy. Moving everything else you're talking about, all those customizations, and especially the branding, it's a little more difficult process. And that's why they primarily push people to the third-party tools, because that's where a lot of whether they try to handle those scenarios. Yeah, there's no easy answer for that. It all depends, because there are some organizations that they've gone, and while it may not be highly customized, but they tried to stay very strictly within the framework of SharePoint, and most of it ports right over. They've got a tweak, and it goes out, and others it goes in, and it's like the Fab 40 all over again. Yeah. Is there any other question? I know that one last question over here. Yep. Certainly Microsoft. So, are there success stories for the cloud that are out there? I mean, and where the movement is. I mean, so what I could say is, I mean, Microsoft certainly has a lot of case studies that are out there. The other hosting vendors, I just bring up, they're here, FP Web and Rackspace. They've got success stories around that. I mean, there's vendors that are using to replace kind of dev and staging. They're using services like CloudShare to do some of that work as well. I mean, there's certainly success stories that are out there. If you look at the data, just for Office 365 as an example of one, I don't know of anything that definitively looks across all of the others, but almost, I mean, it's the vast majority of SharePoint environments. I mean, this came from Gartner, and Microsoft signed on. 85%, 50% that are looking at hybrid and the 15% in the cloud. So 65% as of today are out looking at things in the cloud. If you look at Office 365 today, 90% of Office 365 customers are there because of Exchange. And that number's changing, but that's where it is today. Because it's the most mature, it just makes sense. The people who are predominantly using SharePoint are still on-prem and hybrid. Yep. Thank you very much.